This is Morning Edition. I'm Eric Hodge. India has quietly allowed a U.S. military team back into a remote Himalayan region to hunt for World War II troops missing there. Hundreds of American aircraft were lost in the rugged mountain terrain. It's the first time in 5 years recovery teams are being allowed in the region, and it has raised the hopes of veterans' family members. Jay Price reports as part of WUNC's American Homefront Project.
It's not unusual to get an odd contact from your past through classmates.com, but not like the email that reached retired chemical equipment salesman Bill Verhagen in 2008. Was he just maybe the nephew of a Louis F. Verhagen? He was. Uncle Louis holds a central place in family lore.
He was tall. He was an athlete. Over the years, I heard that he signed a contract with the Philadelphia Athletics at that time. I have no idea how much truth is in all that, but I guess he was a pretty good left-handed baseball player.
The Verhagen family's left-handed golden boy who vanished into the sky. On March 20, 1943, he was an assistant radio operator on a B-24 bomber dubbed Pregnant Swan. A crew of 10 was flying it from India to Kunming, China, to join the fight against Japan. It never arrived. Louis Verhagen was 21 years old. His brother, Bill Verhagen's father, immediately tried to enlist in the Marines, even though he was too young.
The family was affected quite a bit, especially my dad. He's thinking he can help find him or in some way have vengeance.
It took 65 years, but in 2008, someone did find his plane near the eastern end of the Himalayas. A mountaineer from Arizona named Clayton Cools has made a personal mission of finding and identifying lost American aircraft in Asia. A two-day trek north of the nearest village, Cools climbed the jungled walls of a ravine and picked through piles of crumpled and shredded aluminum. Eventually, he found what he was looking for, a serial number, 42-40069. A few months later, Bill Verhagen got that email from an MIA activist who works with Cools.
When I heard, I was in shock. And the first thing I did was I called the cemetery where my grandparents are buried to find out if there was room for my uncle if his remains could be found. And two of my female cousins already had their DNA done that would help identify his remains.
It's unclear, though, when or even if they'll need that gravesite or whether those DNA samples will ever be used. Not long after the plane was discovered, the government of India kicked out an American recovery team working in the region. That led to a frustrating 5 years for the relatives of Louis Verhagen and 83 other men whose shattered aircraft have also been found and identified in that remote Indian state, which is called Arunachal Pradesh.
We lobbied the Indian ambassador to the United States. We've sent notes to numerous officials.
That's Gary Zayats, the accidental activist who found Verhagen through social media. Zayats, who lives in Kerry, locates the families of downed flyers when Clayton Cools finds their planes. Zayats' uncle Irwin was the navigator of another B-24 bomber that went down in the same area. In all, nearly 600 U.S. aircraft were lost along the supply route called the Hump, most in India.
Over this hump of mountains 16,000 feet high, more tonnage is being flown into China than was ever trucked in over the old Burma Road.
Unpredictable weather, towering peaks, and the rudimentary navigation aids of the time made it startlingly dangerous. Eventually, all the crashes earned the hump another nickname, the Aluminum Trail. The U.S. sent a recovery team there in 2008. But the next year, before it could finish, India imposed the unannounced moratorium on recoveries. This setback was final for some relatives.
One of our closest colleagues in this effort, a guy named Steve Chambers, nephew of Sheldon Chambers, my uncle's co-pilot, he passed away. Because of this moratorium, he will never get to see the remains of his uncle.
The Indian government gave little explanation for expelling the recovery team, but Indian media linked the decision to a long-standing border dispute between India and China. China had complained about India allowing the U.S. recovery team into the remote mountainous territory, which it considers its own. The region is a crossroads and a mixing pot. Strong Burmese and Tibetan influences, dozens of tribes and languages, a host of religions, including many that worship nature. MIT political scientist Taylor Fravel is an expert on Chinese border issues.
It's complex because of the relationship between China and India, two obviously large powers in Asia more generally. They have a long border, and the entire stretch of that border is disputed territory. And I think it would probably be one of the world's largest territorial disputes.
But this spring, something changed, and the moratorium was loosened, again with little explanation. And in September, at least one of the small U.S. recovery teams quietly flew back in. Zayats has been told that it's gone back to his uncle's plane to try to finish the job there. The Indian embassy in Washington didn't respond to requests for comment, and a U.S. State Department spokeswoman declined to talk about any negotiations. And Zayats says the families aren't sure what to think.
Is this really an end to this moratorium? Or is it just PR, we're going to do one crash site and maybe they'll go away and we won't do anything for a couple of years, all right? Well, that's unacceptable as far as I'm concerned.
There's only a handful of U.S. recovery teams to search for remains across the world. So even if India does allow the recoveries to continue, it could take years or even decades to investigate just the sites Cools has already found. While they wait and hope for their turn, families like the Verhagens think about how to keep the memory of the missing men from becoming an echo that fades away as it passes down each generation.
We talked about how this affects the next set of cousins coming along who didn't have the benefit of, everybody talking about my Uncle Louis all the time.
So he talks to his own son. Maybe Verhagen can't bring Uncle Louis back to life as clearly and powerfully as his own aunts and uncles did for him, but he can pass down some things.
I have one of my uncle's flight suits, and I had my son put that on. And my son is 15 years old, and he's 5'10", and it looks like it fits him perfectly. So when they talked about how tall my uncle was, I was a little surprised that the suit fit my son so well.
Some of those men who went off to World War II and didn't come back will always seem a little taller and a bit more handsome, and maybe even a little better at baseball, at least for as long as someone keeps remembering. Jay Price, North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.
You can hear more about the search for these missing soldiers today at noon on The State of Things.